and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation is from our gospel lesson, not from Matthew 11, but from John chapter 3, especially the last two verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is our text. Can you remember the very first Bible passage that you memorized? I have to admit, I can't. But I do have vivid memories of sitting at the kitchen table and writing and rewriting over and over again the words of institution from 1 Corinthians, because our pastor wanted us to memorize them, and frankly, I was having a hard time doing so. Parents and students sometimes question the motive behind memorizing passages of Scripture. And while I have a hard time memorizing just about anything, I have found that being able to bring to mind a special passage of Scripture during a difficult time can be extremely comforting. That being said, one would think that our text for today, and particularly John 3:16, would be the most popular Bible passage to memorize. After all, we see it behind goalposts on plasters that says John 3:16. So, of course, I had to run to the internet and did a search on the most popular Bible passages to memorize. So John 3:16, that gospel in a nutshell, came in 5th, 12th, 3rd, 7th, and on another site, it didn't even make the top 15. That said, besides John 3:16, there is a lot to look at in this very familiar text for today. One of the questions that popped into my mind as I was preparing for our message today was the question of why did Nicodemus feel it necessary to go and visit Jesus? And to find out that answer, I kind of looked in the previous chapter of John, back to John chapter 2, and noticed that John chapter 2 opens up with Jesus and the disciples at the wedding of Cana, where Jesus turns over 100 gallons of water into wine. And the key verse in that whole text is verse 11. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And that gives us a very, very important insight. Jesus didn't just do miracles to show off his power. No, Jesus only did miracles, what John calls signs, to build faith in the people who witnessed them. Well, right after that wedding at Cana, the next thing we see is Jesus going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And you got to understand, this is one of the highest, most holy holidays on the entire Jewish calendar. And Jesus goes into the temple, and what does he see? People selling oxen and sheep and doves in the temple. He sees people exchanging money. So what does he do? Well, he goes and he takes some cords and he makes a whip and he drives all those people out of the temple. If you want to catch the attention of the religious leaders of the day, that would be a way to do it. Drive out all those people out of the temple. I don't think it's a coincidence that it's immediately after these two events that Nicodemus comes and visits Jesus at night. And you know what? I think that Nicodemus really wants to believe in Jesus. And the reason I think that is because of his first sentence that he says right out of the bat. He addresses Jesus as Rabbi. He addresses him with respect. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And again, notice that word that John likes, that word signs there. The book of John is filled with signs. John loved to use the word signs to describe Jesus' miracles. That word shows up 11 times in the book of John. And the most important place is in John chapter 20, where he says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So the fact that Nicodemus recognized those signs is very, very important to the story. He may not have understood everything that Jesus was all about, everything that he was going to do, the mission he was on, but he is willing and open-minded enough to know that Jesus comes from God. And that is a very big step. That is a very important step to coming to faith and belief. The next discussion that Jesus has with Nicodemus is something that catches the attention of us Lutherans. Jesus says, you must be born again. And a little bit later he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's a very scary statement for Lutherans who don't put a whole lot of stock into being born again. I mean, in Lutheran experience, we are baptized in the church as infants. We are nurtured in the church through Sunday school and confirmation. We might step away from the church a little while during our college years, but once we're married and have kids, we come back to the church, and the cycle continues as we have our own children baptized. Rarely in the Lutheran experience is there a time when we are born again, when we experience a life-changing event where we get off the wrong road and start to follow on the road with Jesus. Fortunately, Jesus elaborates on his statement, explains it a little bit better when he says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now that's language we can grab onto. Being born of water and the Spirit, we recognize clearly as an early connection of baptism. It's another way to describe salvation and faith in Jesus in general. We can only believe in Jesus if we have the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit comes to us is through the waters of baptism. So we really don't need to have that life-changing experience of being born again because we are born again in the waters of baptism as our faith in Jesus grows and grows through the work of the Holy Spirit. And there's something very comforting about this text that may not be very apparent as you look at it and read through it quickly. What gives me great comfort in this text is Nicodemus's question about two-thirds through the whole text. When Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? You see, here we have a man who was sitting on the Jewish ruling council. He was a member of the great Sanhedrin. He had dedicated his whole entire life to the church. He is a professional church worker. And I think it's possible that he has either seen Jesus change that water into wine, or he saw Jesus clear out all of those people out of the temple. Maybe he saw both. And he goes and he questions God and says, how can these things be? Well, if this intelligent religious person can question the things of God, then it only makes sense that we're going to have questions and doubts as well. There is so much of our faith that we have to take on faith. They can't be explained, and yet we know that it's true. I mean, try proving the existence of the Trinity to somebody. Okay, just explain the Trinity to somebody who doesn't believe in it. I mean, the word Trinity doesn't even come up in the biblical text. And yet we see the Trinity very clearly all over the Bible, especially Jesus' baptism. So much of what we believe is based on stuff we just can't understand. And so it's comforting to know that it's just normal to have doubts. And that a famous religious person on the level of Nicodemus had doubts too. That eases my ideas when it comes to doubts. Obviously, the climax of our text here today is that famous passage from John 3:16. The thing is that if you really look at the text, John 3:17 says almost the exact same thing as John 3:16. I mean, John 3:17 is just a further explanation of John 3:16. Really, those two verses belong together. I'd invite you to pick up your worship folder and take a look at that. And I would like to read those two verses together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Again, we're reading it together out loud. Okay? They did it perfectly last night. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That didn't hurt, did it? Again, the purpose of this passage is to comfort. We learn so much about God in these two short verses. We learn that God loves us. We learn that Jesus was sent to save us. We learn that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that Jesus came into the world to save the whole entire world. Chances are you never memorized John 3:17. Maybe you never memorized any passage from the Bible. You know, that's okay. What matters is that you understand what the passage says and that the Holy Spirit is working through the Word and the sacraments to strengthen your faith. God comes to us in His Word. God comforts us in His Word. God brings us closer to Him in His Word, and God offers us forgiveness in His Word and in His sacraments. The Lenten season is a great time to spend a little bit more time in God's Word, to kind of reconnect with God again, to strengthen your faith, and maybe to examine some of those doubts and those questions that we have. So as we continue on our Lenten journey this year, let's spend a little bit more time in God's Word, and let's let that Holy Spirit work in us as we focus on that Word. In Jesus' name, amen.